So many things in the service this morning seemed to, I don't know, maybe it was because I was thinking about this, but seemed to lend themselves to this subject. I'd like to talk about conformity to Christ. If you would turn with me to Romans 8, it's a very familiar idea, I think, to us, but I've been thinking about it the last few days and kind of suddenly realized that I was on to preach this evening, and so anyway, I decided to speak on it. Romans 8 and verse 28 is a very familiar verse to us. I'd like to begin there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And without going into a lot of detail, the called is us. That's you and I. We are called. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Like you just notice that it says there that we are destined. That's what he called us to. That's what he wants us to be, is to be conformed to the image of his Son. And then that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. I think that's very beautiful. Philippians, before we go into thinking a little bit deeper about that, Philippians 3 and verse 10. Philippians 3 and verse 10. Again, a very familiar verse to us, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And again, that word has the same idea. It's a little bit different word, but it has the same idea. And as we think about conform, we can easily think of the word form. And there's a lot of different things that we use forms for. One of them is concrete. I'm not real familiar with concrete, but when we were at home on the farm, we did a lot of concrete pouring of our own. And you make a form, and then you put the concrete in it, and the concrete sets up, and it stays there even after you take the form off. It seems to me that that's what God is saying to us, that he wants to form us up so that we're made, so that we stay, that we're pressed into the mold of Jesus Christ. There's many other scriptures we could look at, but we'll stop with those two. I want to keep it pretty short tonight. This drawing that I have is not original with me. I saw it. I got it a couple weeks ago, and I thought about it as I thought about this topic tonight, and it seemed to me it makes a lot of sense as we talk about conformity to Christ. You and I were created in God's image, and I don't know how to explain how that is. God is a spirit. He's not a body. He's a spirit. I don't think bodily we were made in the image of God necessarily. But there are some things about us that we were created in the image of God. And as we read about this morning, Brother Jeff read about the fall of man, that image that was created like God, in God's likeness, it says, that was shattered, it was ruined, and it's not the same. And I don't think we realize maybe sometimes how far removed we are from the original that God created. we are depraved. We're totally ruined. We're totally shattered. Ephesians talks a lot about it, and also in Colossians it says we were dead. Uses the word dead a number of times in there. That's how separated from God we were, and that's what God promised, that in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. We're separated from God. Now, as we think about what we were, just a little bit more, self was on the throne of our heart. Inside, that's what was there, was self. We live for self. We just thought about self. That's all we did, is thought about self. We worked for self. But one of the miracles that Jesus wants to do is he wants to come in our hearts. And he wants to make us new. And he does that by coming in that vacuum that's in our hearts and drawing us into an image that's made like him. And I think that's beautiful that God does that. Now, I would say that we should start at the top with the Word of God. That's what I think. I know that some people would start with love, that we start with love, and it's about God's love to us and him drawing us, but I'd like to start with the Word of God. I think that's, as I contemplated that, that's how we hear. That's how we hear the message. That's how we grow in faith. That's how we start faith. That's where it comes from. It's from the Word of God. And as you notice, all these things that are around this circle are things that we find in our brotherhood, should find in our brotherhood. And they are, if you will, they are an external form or an external pressure that helps us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus is not king, and if he is not inside, these things, all these things around, while they're nice, they look nice, they look beautiful, they look like it'd be a nice idea, they become very burdensome, impossible actually to fulfill a lot of these things, maybe all of these things, truly, if we don't find Jesus as king on the inside. And I know this is simple. We know this, we understand this. We can think about the Word of God. That's where we start. The Word of God convicts us. And as we enter into the Word of God, as we become a part of the brotherhood, that's one of the things that happens right away. When we believe God's Word, we're gonna come in contact with, we're gonna become a part of people that have Jesus as King, as one Lord in their life. That's what's going to happen. Then there's going to be communication. I struggled with some of these things. I wasn't sure what should all be in what order, because all these things are maybe happen simultaneously sometimes, especially as you think about love. Maybe love should be over there, but we'll just leave that thought for a little bit. But communication happens, and one of the things that happens with communications as we communicate with each other is we live in the flesh, and we have misunderstandings. And so we have the need for forgiveness and talking to each other, and we have to be open, and that's over here as well. But forgiveness comes very quickly in our Christian experience, especially as it relates to others. We need to learn to forgive very quickly. When we forgive, we become vulnerable. And maybe that's a little bit hard to explain all that. I know how it feels, but it's releasing, when we forgive, we release any vengeance. We're not going to get back. We're not going to make sure that they knew that I was right and they were wrong. We're not going to do any of that. We become vulnerable. And actually, it seems kind of odd, but that builds trust. We become, trust is built. Now, back to the forgiveness and the vulnerability with each other. Many of these things are like this, but it's more than one person. You know, the other side of the equation can fail, and brotherhood doesn't happen with them. That's just stating it briefly and bluntly. I'm not sure I have time to go into a lot of that. But anyway, trust is built. And trust also helps form us, both trust in others and trust toward us. Helps form us in the image of Jesus Christ. I would say trust in others does more, but maybe that's debatable. Then we have commitment. Commitment happens as we trust each other. We have brotherhood, and we have commitment. We commit each because we trust each other. We're committed, and we want the best for each other. And then we are open. We walk in the light. We have confidence, and then we reach the. Maybe accountability is a long ways down the list there, you think, but we reach the point where accountability can work. I feel like all these things need to be in place first before accountability can really be what it needs to be. And then we get to love. And again, I said before, all these things happen simultaneously, it seems like, but There is somewhat of a sense of order, I think. Love is not really truly love until it's tested. Maybe that's not entirely true. We love him because he first loved us. But there's an aspect of love that we don't know, we don't quite understand all the ins and outs of until it's been tested. And then we find acceptance in the beloved, in the church. We find acceptance with the people of God. So I would just like to think about a little bit that Christ being in us. Talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. No, I didn't write down the reference for that, but again, that's a familiar scripture. Christ in you. We're thinking about Christ being in us, but then us being formed, us being conformed to his image. And as we think about this process of what happens, our identity is lost. Our identity is lost into brotherhood. We're not, there's a lot of things we can think about in this, but even as Mennonite people, you know, you go somewhere and almost immediately the first thing that comes up, you know, you maybe say your name and your last name, and well, who's your father? That's part of identity. But then, well, where are you from? Where do you go to church? See, it's part of our identity. But there's a lot more. There's identity is a lot deeper than that. Our identity is actually lost of who we are and melted into the brotherhood of being identified with the brotherhood. I might bring in here that some of these things Maybe especially confidence and accountability and walking in the light and commitment. Some of, on this side, it seems like to me that these things in brotherhood can bring pressure on our lives. I don't know if you know what I mean, but it can almost force us, because we are identified with a certain group or we're identified with Pine Grove, we can almost feel forced into a mold that we need to act a certain way. Now, I like to just talk about that a little bit. Some people say that that external pressure of being forced is, or feeling forced, is wrong. And I don't think it is. I've said this many times, but even church discipline, that's pressure too. That's pretty high pressure. But I don't think that pressure is wrong. Just because it's an external pressure, I don't think that means that it's wrong. But it can become, in our lives, it can become the thing that actually causes us to stumble. And let me try to explain that a little bit. If our focus, maybe I'd say it this way: we get tired of being pressed into the conformity of Jesus Christ. We get tired of that, then our tendency is going to be to react to the pressure, and actually take the pressure will be the wrong thing. And that's why I think this subject is so important as we think about being conformed to Christ. It really makes a big difference how we look at the external pressures of brotherhood. And there is external pressures of brotherhood. There's expectations that need to be met. There's trust that shouldn't be broken. There's things like that that cause us pressure. I just think it's so important that we look to Jesus and that we see him, that we understand this concept of being made conformable to Christ. I think that's very, very important. Otherwise, brotherhood is burdensome, and communication is too much bother, and many, many other things. We'd go all the way around the circle. It's too hard to forgive, and so on. I think it's ironic. You know, we talk about the kingdom of God and the new kingdom. It's an upside-down kingdom. I think it's ironic that in order to find our fulfillment or find acceptance in the beloved, like it says there, in order to find acceptance, we need to lose our identity. And the more we can lose our identity, the more we can find fulfillment. I think that's just, it's a paradox, but that's the way it is. It's the way I find it. As we endeavor to lose our identity, we can find fulfillment and we can find acceptance in the beloved. It needs to become of utmost importance that Jesus is Lord and not, again, King Jesus. That Jesus is Lord, not that I get my way or not that I'm right or whatever. It needs to become of utmost importance that he is Lord. I think that's very important. But that's part of the death principle that the Scripture talks about, that we die so that we can live. It's death to self. That's what happens as we become conformed to Christ. Again, Philippians 3, verse 10, maybe you're still there. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We die, and in that death we become conformed, become more Christ-like. One more verse in closing that I really like. In a sense, it doesn't talk about, it's Hebrews 2. It doesn't talk about conforming, but it does talk about being part of the family of God and finding fulfillment. Hebrews 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth, this is talking about being conformed in that way that we are sanctified, and they who are sanctified are all of one. In other words, we're all of God. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And that to me is a miracle, that we can actually, by divine process, we can be conformed to the image of Christ, and God will look at us and say, you know what, he looks like Christ. He looks like his brethren. That to me is amazing. I forget, do we close in prayer? Okay, let's kneel in prayer.